He didn't come to, but just to some time study the two verses in there, the 22nd and the 23rd, that before we say by heads and prayer once more, Heavenly Father, we come again in your presence, in the Lord Jesus Christ, asking my God to help us again. Send thy word over it's done lightly, nor should not be spoken of in any way except with grace and charity and by revelation. We pray, O God, be with us to help us to be able to say the things that ought to be said and to understand. God, thy word to Paul from the word that may be one with us today, John, this God, this man, for us. We have not been in any wise desired to remind us that we may be able to have him in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been before you enough, and we have not heard it. We have the position of desire in you. Acts 2:22-23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophets of the Lord your God is up unto you, of your brethren like unto me, whom you shall hear in all things, what the least of them you. And they said that every that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now there is no doubt that this prophet is Jesus Christ, yet it goes by on to 3.5 years of a prophetic ministry that he had when he was here upon earth. Now, to begin with, he's going to examine his identification, and Christ, quoting from Deuteronomy, said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. To him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it seems that those two qualifications are the earmarks of this prophet, one of which is, first of all, from among the brethren, and secondly, Moses said, like unto me. Now, from among the brethren, if he is Jesus Christ, and he is taken from among the brethren, we ought to examine who those brethren are. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Mark, verses 31-35, we get a clue. There came then his brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him, saying, or calling him, and the multitude sat about him as Jesus, and said, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without speak for thee. And he answered, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round on them which sat about and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother, my sister, and my mother. Now, Christ defining the brethren himself, from whom he is supposed to be raised up, said that the brethren are not of flesh and blood, but though they are flesh and blood, they are not of any particular lineage of which he is, but they are those that do the will of the Father. Now, the will of the Father is found in John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, those within the will are those who believe. They're the believers. And that's the Father's will, that everyone should believe on him. That's the true believer. Now, with this also, we have the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 9. So we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him from whom are all things and by whom are all things, that to bring, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain their salvation perfect with suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now you get another revelation here on who the brethren are. They who do the will of the Father. It says they who are sanctified. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one sort. And so we have an identification with Christ once more here. He is that prophet. If the brethren are from the same source that he is, which is God, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same,
that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now you can see the pre-existence there, because you don't take on yourself a nature if you don't exist. He had a pre-existence because he took on himself a nature, of course, which is simply referring to the fact that he took upon himself the flesh and blood aspect, or humanity, is what he's talking about here. Now, he took on himself not the nature of angels, or the body of angels, or the disposition of angels, but he became one, being the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Now we can see here that Christ and the brethren are all one in the election, and the source is of God. So we don't particularly look at the brethren of Christ as being those after the flesh. We have to look at them according to what the Scripture says. Now, I'm placing this in order to come to an understanding of the prophet of Acts, the third chapter. Now, this is not simply a prophet in the sense of the flesh, as Moses said, the prophet of the Lord your God raised unto me, like unto me, from amongst the brethren. It's not just an ordinary person. It has to be placed as to what the real brethren are. Now, Moses was flesh and blood, and so Christ was flesh and blood. But the real reality, or the definition of to whom he is the brethren, comes in the Scriptures here, showing us that Christ was raised up from amongst the elected. He's not a high priest to anybody but the elect. Because the high priest does not offer a sacrifice for those that are outside the camp. He only offers a sacrifice for those that are inside the camp. And he is helping those as their high priest because he's able to help them on the grounds of what he himself endured when he was suffering. So we're taking him now amongst the brethren. Who are the brethren? The election of God, the church. It's the real bride of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. A revelation we had here that amongst the brethren this prophet must come, and being Jesus, he's amongst his own brethren, which are the election. Now we can't even look backward on this. It's strange, if you look backward before the cross, then you're going to have him a pre-existing brother, which we could have in a sense of the word, but you can't get the sense of it. It's something looking forward to, raised up amongst the brethren, see, and this same one will be a high priest. So that's fine, we can see it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but the understanding of relationship is one of sonship, one with the Father, and he is our brother. Now, this is a spiritual election, but there's also a physical election, where he comes by a natural line, and this is what we want to look at for a second, in Galatians, the third chapter. Eighth verse, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. Now, of course, this is God speaking to Abraham. Now, the blessing of Abraham is going to come in a certain way. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, we're beginning to see an election here in the physical. All right? Let's go to Romans, the 9th chapter, 1 to 5. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not my conscience also with blameless in the Holy Ghost, and I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart, that I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving the law, and the service of God and the promise, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Now, there is a natural election here in order to place him in a physical body, which physical body he has. But the most important thing is to realize that the election is spiritual, and he is, and we are brothers on the ground of the election, because we all come from the same source. See, it's the one source. God is that source. But the physical here came by way of Israel, because Israel happens to be the natural seed of Abraham. See, yeah, they just come on down from Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob the 12 patriarchs, right down to the day when Christ was born in the tribe of Judah. And then, of course, his priesthood left the Levitical tribe and went to the tribe of Judah, making him a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, the order of Melchizedek, of course, he had neither father nor mother nor any descendants. See, what he became incarnate, in a sense of the word, he was able to eat and all. I don't know just how incarnate he was. I kind of doubt it. I think it was more of a body, which was a celestial body. He came down and manifested himself. But see, this Jesus now has a physical birth through the seed of Abraham, raised up in Israel, but his ministry and priesthood and his true identification lies in the fact of who he is by spiritual election, which is God manifest in flesh. Now, so that's from among the brethren, that's the prophet. Mm-hmm. He's in the election, and you can't change it from that, because Christ was neither Jew nor Gentile. If he was Jew nor Gentile, he would have been illegitimate child of Mary, either by a Roman soldier or some such, or some man of Israel, maybe Joseph, her own husband. It wouldn't work. He is definitely the brethren, one of us on the grounds of election. But also, he had to come by flesh to die. And which, after the resurrection, he entered into the priesthood, and this came by the descendants of Abraham. Now remember, of course, all Israel is not Israel, too. But he came by the blood of Israel, but through the blood of Abraham. Now, that's so much on the fact that he is one of the brethren. Who he is, and why he is that. Now, Moses also said, like unto me. Now, of course, when he says this, he is typing the ministry. See, the ministry now coming in. So who he is, and the ministry. Now, Moses was primarily the one by whom God kept the covenant promise to deliver Israel from Egypt and bring them into the land of promise. Now, that's the one that Moses was to be. Now, he never got him into the land of promise, but he was the one by whom God kept the covenant promise of deliverance from and into the land where God wanted him to be. Now, Moses, and what Moses did was the fulfillment or manifestation into reality of the word. Now, I want to repeat that again. What Moses was and did was the fulfillment of the word of God into a manifested reality. Because God said, I'm going to deliver Israel, and then his word of promise was that in deliverance, he made a man to be the leader. Now, both the leader and the deliverance is the manifestation of the word of God in the physical reality. See? So, we're going to have to see the same thing come to pass in our fulfillment of the type where Christ is the same as was Moses. Now, Christ was the manifested word for his day to bring deliverance to Israel, and first of all, to deliver them from sin. Now, this is where you get the great type of Israel being sin. We always talk of Egypt. We talk about God delivering Israel from Egypt, which is the type of the world and sin. Now, here is where we get our picture. Christ coming in the flesh like Moses in order to deliver Israel. Now, he couldn't deliver them from one land to another land because he never came to put them in the land. That's later on. He came to put them in the millennium, sure, but that's later on. He came to deliver them from sin. Now, Moses delivered from sin, which is Egypt, which is physical affliction because of the sin of the people of Egypt not desiring Israel to follow God physically. Now, we've got the same thing in Christ. He comes to deliver us from sin so that we can do physically the things which are pleasing to God that previously we could not do. So Christ was manifested, and he was the Word of God, manifested in his day to bring deliverance to Israel from their sins, preparing them for the millennium. But not at that minute. See, not at that time. Israel was not going to let into the promised land because, remember, Christ was raised up as the brother amongst the brethren. And they were coming down the line, which was indeed Abraham, till all the nations of Israel be blessed. So we've got to look down to where the scripture places it. See? Now, Moses was of the correct election. Where was he? He was the election of Abraham and of Levi. He gave him a correct election, putting him in the priesthood and the prophetic ministry in order to lead out Israel, which, remember, he did. Now, what about Christ? He was the correct election because he also was Abraham's seed, and he was also the seed of the woman, and he was also the Messiah, and so on. He was all of the very correct invitation, so that if Moses was the forerunner, Christ could follow right along and follow in his footsteps for his ministry. Now, not Moses' ministry. See, not Moses' ministry, his own ministry. But Moses was the type. Now, when you type a thing, you don't go back to type when you fulfill it. You go to anti-type, which is the full shining of the glory of what the type merely was, a little old shadow. See? So we're going now to the full picture. Christ was of the correct election, and you see, and not only was Moses of the election, what was it? I'm going to send you a deliverer through the seed of Abraham in order to deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. Now that's fine. See? But when you get to the other part, which is just a little bare word, that's just a little bare word that God did for Moses. If you want to understand that. It says here, with a little finger, Christ cast out devil. God cast out devil. And it said with a hand, he took him out of Egypt. But the whole arm of God, Christ, was made bare when it came to taking out of sin. Alright? Then you've got a little flick of the finger down here in Israel. I mean, in Egypt, a few miracles took place, and you got a few healings down here, a few little things are going on. Then you get a hand is delivering from Israel out of Egypt after manifestation. But when you're coming, that's just a little bit of the word. But when you get into Christ, you see the whole Word of God manifested. See? God delivering with a mighty manifestation through Christ the Word, because he wasn't just a part of the Word, like all the prophets and all those ahead of him. He was the Word. See? So, now, the next thing, you'll notice that Moses had a great vindicated ministry. And it was wonderful. The things that God did through Moses, but then you'll notice Jesus had a greater vindicated ministry. See? He had a much greater ministry. Now Moses brought the word, and Jesus brought the word. Now notice, God judged Israel for denying the word that came by Moses. And they took Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they took Miriam and different ones, and so God judged Israel for their sin. See? And they did not enter into the promised land. Now, in the days when Jesus was on earth, he also judged Israel for their sin, and today their sin remains. So he told them. He said, if I had not done the work that the man did, and he said, if you had not said you're blind, but he said, now you say you're seed, your sin remaineth. So you can see the identification here that as Moses was a certain prophet with certain earmarks, he foreran in a measure the great prophet, Christ, which should also come in flesh. And remember, he wasn't just the Word, he was the Word. And there are, of course, many other identifications we could use, which we don't get into this time. Now, notice what Moses said about that prophet in the book of Acts. You just want to give a background here. You can see who this prophet is and to what he really is. Not just guessing, but to realize who he is. He's God come down amongst us as a prophet. Now, he says here, that prophet you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say, and every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, you'll notice here that though this is Jesus Christ, which we can't deny, all this spoken was not fulfilled in the 3.5 year ministry. See? Regardless that it is Jesus. From among the brethren, absolutely the God manifest in flesh, and everything just shows who he is, and this here did not take place in 3.5 year ministry. It didn't have time. Now this could not happen because Jesus was the sacrifice, and all manner of sin, while he was the sacrifice, could be forgiven. See? That didn't happen. Couldn't happen. Why? Because he was the sacrifice. Now the Bible said if you don't hear, you're going to get cut off. Well, they didn't hear. But they didn't get cut off. Now the reason is because he's the sacrifice. Now, they heard him, but had they listened to him, see, and acknowledged who he was, then he could not have died. See, that's the thing you gotta watch. Now it says you hear him, or you're gonna get cut off. Now suppose they would have heard him, and they wouldn't have got cut off. See? So they didn't hear him because they couldn't hear him because they were blinded. Now then, this him being the sacrifice, all that heard were not destroyed, or he destroyed them all. All except for the election, which are no longer considered Israel. Because once you come into the understanding of true election, you bypass all realms of the flesh. There's neither white nor black nor red nor yellow nor any other color. There's no nation. There is nothing that you put down as a physical criterion anymore. It's all overlooked. It's all gone. So Israel was blinded. Now, but according to this scripture, there has to come a time when those who don't hear are destroyed. Now see, that holds good. Now see what I want to show you. This is Jesus Christ, the prophet. Showed you how he was. What he came to. He came to the flesh. And make no mistake about it, we're still talking about the same one. He is that same one, God manifest in flesh. But you must see here that even though it is Jesus Christ, it was not Jesus Christ in the 3.5 years of his ministry, because in the days of prophecy, Israel was not destroyed. See? They were not destroyed. Now, there's coming a time when there's got to be a destruction from among the people. Also remember that if this is the one who is of the election, the high priest, then we've got to look down the line to where all the elect come in. Now, then, when the election is in and the work is over, this is the only time you could have when those who haven't heard will be destroyed. But they still got to hear. Now, see, this is what we're up against. There has to come a time when this is going to take place. All those who don't hear shall be destroyed. Notice, from among the people. Now, when will this happen? Now, to understand that this is to happen at the end time, is to read, first of all, Acts 3:13-15. Now, let's look at that. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, that glorified his son Jesus, that you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now how come they're not dead? See? They didn't die, but Christ died. Now, we read further. The 18th verse. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. They didn't fulfill anything else. That's all he fulfilled. See? He fulfilled concerning Christ what Christ should suffer. Now, over here, you're not seeing Christ suffer. He just blots them out, kills them off. Over here, they kill him off. Because the scripture was fulfilled of the things that he must suffer. Now, we read some more. Go to verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, that you killed him, and God raised him, whom the heavens must receive, retain, until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And with this, we read verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of two days. What days? The two sets of days. The first coming and the last coming. The days when they didn't have to hear him because they were blinded, and the days when they do have to hear him, what they'll die for. You've got two sets of days in there, see? Now that's the picture. Now these two sets of days explain or set forth, first of all, the prophet in flesh who died, and then that the same one is to come again, but the heavens are to retain him until restoration. And after that he can come. Okay? Now the question comes up, how can people hear him lest they be destroyed? The answer is in 25 and 26. But you are the children of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now it tells you right there that there's going to be a whole bunch of people saved. So therefore there's going to be a whole lot of people that don't die. But there's got to be a whole lot to do. Now, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his sins or iniquity. Now, a covenant God sent Jesus by way of Israel, fulfilling the election. Israel killed him, but God raised him up. Then God sent Jesus back to Israel as the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from iniquity. Now it tells you right here that Jesus came back to the Holy Ghost. And he came to Israel first. See? Then he comes. Now if he comes first, he's got to come second. Maybe even third. Maybe even fourth. I don't know. But the minute you say first, you set in order numeric. Because if there's a first, there's got to be a second. Otherwise, he doesn't send first. He just sends period. See? Now, he sent him first, which was the Holy Spirit. Now, Israel rejected the Holy Spirit and became blind, so the covenant went according to Acts 3:25, to the Gentiles. And in thy seed, Abraham, see, shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, that's not a curse now. That's a blessing. So there's somebody here. Now, notice. Now then, here is what I see in the setting of the scripture. The prophet, like Moses, was raised up amongst the brethren. He came in the flesh. Right to Israel. Although he was in the election, superior to Israel. And he was not heard by Israel. They were not destroyed. They were blinded, but they were not destroyed. Now, there comes a time, though, when all those who don't hear are destroyed. Now, that's going to be Israel, and that's going to be everybody. That's got to be the whole entire bunch. Now, what? The covenant was not to only to Israel, but to the Gentiles. And since Israel is blinded and can't see it, it will be the Gentiles destroyed primarily because they can see and he refuses. Now, see, that's the part you've got to look at. There's a major thought here is destruction of the Gentiles. Not so much Israel. See, why? Because Israel's blinded, they can't see him. But the Gentiles are not blinded. And they could see him. Now let's go to Romans 11 chapter to get the picture there. I say then, if God cast away his people, God forbid. For I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham or the tribe of Benjamin. I'm living proof God hasn't cast away. God has not cast away his people which before knew. Now that covers all election right there. See? What? Know ye not that the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And even at this present time, there remains a remnant according to the election of grace. And if thy grace then is no more work, otherwise grace is no more grace. But it is a work, then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more work. Now people should remember that verse right there. Because that's the whole of Romans. The grace and works are absolutely diametrically opposed. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it's written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes they should not see, ears they should not hear on this day. And Moses said, let the table be made a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? And see, there they are. God forbid. See, that's exactly what it says in Acts. You're getting our scripture clear here. How are you going to destroy people that can't see in the first place? See? We're not going to do it. So that's not Israel. You got to jump down through the ages and place it at the end time, because that's when it's going to take place. Now, God forbid, or rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them, to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, if the fall can be the rich of the world, and so on. You can see here that we've got the picture of Israel blinded. Now, with that verse 25, for I would not, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceit. Blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, when that's in, and Israel once more has a chance to see. See, because the Gentiles have had their chance and are seeing it. See? Now what's going to happen? There's nothing left for Christ to do but to destroy because they haven't heard him. See? Now, what? The prophet from amongst the brethren was never raised up to the Gentiles. In other words, he was never raised up physically to us. See, we never saw him. We never did have the prophet after our own natural election, as Gentiles, as Israel did. We never did. See, we never had that. He never did appear to us, and yet we have to hear him, and those who refuse to listen are utterly destroyed this coming. See? Now remember, your two covenants are in there, to the Jews and to Israel, to the Gentiles. The whole picture is before us now. Now, to really see this, consider again verses 21 and 22 of Acts 3. Whom the heavens must retain, got a kitten there, until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, all things spoken by all the holy prophets, and him shall you hear in all things, are identical. No difference, it's the same thing. See? Him shall you hear in all things. What all things? All things spoken by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. Now this has got to take in Israel and the Gentiles. See? Now the first part's been fulfilled. All that spoken by the prophet concerning his death is over with. It's all gone, been fulfilled, it's all fulfilled.
Right.
But you haven't got the scripture fulfilled concerning your second coming. So, what's he going to do? He's going to have to teach you all things concerning that which applies to the second coming. That's a complete revelation. See, that isn't done out. Jesus cannot come back until God raises up a prophet again, like unto Moses, with the identical ministry of Jesus to the Gentiles. Can't do it. All right, Revelation 10 and 7. Now, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God hath declared by his servants the prophets. What prophets? All the prophets. So what one are you going to choose? See? You can't do it. You got to shout. You can't take, so I'm going to shout for Moses. What if it predates Moses? What about Enoch? He predated Moses. See? Now, therefore, all the prophets are in verse 7. And I could read it this way. In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to preach, the mystery of God should be finished, consummated, and perfected, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel by all of his prophets. So you've got here then, the prophet raised up at the end time must be an absolute fulfillment of your book of Acts. You got to have it. Because the point is, if you're going to have it all spoken over Acts, and you got it all spoken here, it's got to be the same person. Of course, we're not going to carry this too far because we're showing our type. Now, this will be a Gentile from amongst the brethren. And it will be the complete revelation, as it says, in Revelation 10 and 7, it's going to be absolutely complete. Why? Because the day is coming when God turns from the Gentiles to Israel. And when he does, they're no longer blinded. And then when there's nobody blinded, they all got their eyes open. Then if you don't hear, destruction. See, so we can see the period when this will happen. When all of those who don't hear will be destroyed from among the people, it's going to be at the very end time. Because they've all had their day then. See, now, it will not be Elijah himself, because Elijah has been born and caught up. To be like Moses requires a birth and a death on earth, and then a resurrection and a rapture will follow. So you've got to have a death and a resurrection. Because that takes care of Moses. You know, Moses was not raptured. Moses comes up in a resurrection, evidently, because he's got no scripture to prove otherwise. Even though the Bible says that God buried him and nobody knows where he's buried. Now, we all know the answer as to how we can have an end-time prophet and not Jesus in the flesh to fulfill the scripture. Because it said so in the first 6 verses of Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel messenger come down from heaven and clothed the clouds. A rainbow on his head, his feet as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot on the sea, his left on the earth, cried with a loud voice when a lion roared, when he cried 7 times under voices. The 7 times under voice has about to write, he said, shoot up the things and write them off. And then, of course, he swore by himself that time had run out. In other words, time no longer is according to Ezekiel 12:25-28. Let's look at it. For I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall be no more prolonged in your days. O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it to the Lord God. Well, that's great, but who's he talking to? Ezekiel. So who's talking to Israel? Ezekiel. So how does God talk to Israel? By the Son of Man. Now he's using a prophet. And he said, the days that I shall speak shall not be prolonged, but I'll perform it in the very day of the people whom I send it. Again, the word of God came saying, Son of man, the whole day of the house of Israel say, the vision he sees is for many days to come, and he prophesies the times that are far off. Therefore, say to them, thus saith the Lord God, none of theirs shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Now you take that back to Revelation 10, and you've got in the generation of the prophet on earth, the words of God will no longer be prolonged, but the cutting off takes place. Now I didn't say in his lifetime, I said in his generation. Because a prophet can die any time at all. And then what his word comes will come to pass in the generation. See? So you've got to come to pass at this particular time. Now, notice also here, back in Revelation, that 10th chapter. This is identical to the ministry of Moses. This prophet has identical ministry. Because like Moses, he has the pillar of fire. Who has the pillar of fire? Revelation 10 and 7. See? Now, Moses had the pillar of fire, but Jesus did not have the pillar of fire because he was the pillar of fire. See? Moses had a cloud and a rock, but Jesus did not have a cloud and a rock because he was the cloud and the rock. See? Now, in these verses you can see two fulfillments. Jesus as prophet and savior to Israel, the Son of Man was crucified. A prophet like unto Moses revealing the Son of Man. See? This would be Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The pillar of fire and the prophet bringing the word which must be fulfilled and no longer prolonged in the very generation of the prophet bringing it. Now remember, Christ did not see his generation fulfilled. They cut him off. And there is a seed promised him. See? Once that seed comes, it's over. That seed is all but fulfilled now. So therefore in these days, there is going to be in the days of this generation, the fulfillment of the seed of God, where God brings in all the Gentiles, and then turns back to Israel to bring in their remnant. 144,000. So all in this generation. And this is where it's fulfilled. And it's the day of the pillar of fire and the prophet. Now, let's look at this, Hebrews 6. Now, verse 4, you don't need to read the other three because you know them. It's impossible for those who were once strong and light, notice, have tasted the heavenly gift. See, to taste is actually partake of the heavenly gift. Who's the heavenly gift? Christ. He actually came down. The Word of God made flesh came down. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Actually, and taste the good word of God. Partake of it. In other words, be caught up and involved in it. And the powers of the world to come. In other words, you have the actual authority demonstrated here of the ages which are ahead of us. The millennium. The very thing. Now, having fallen away, to renew them again unto repentance, because they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open tomb. And it's done at the end time where the wheat and the tares have grown up together. And you can have all of this and still not even be saved. See? Now, herein is where it's fulfilled in type about Moses smiting the rock twice. See? A prophet raised up unto you. Now, Moses smote the rock twice. He, as the word prophet, is crucified the second time. Christ crucified the second time right here. Now Moses literally brought about a Christ crucifixion. And when he did, the people were given the same water that came out of the rock But as I would say this carefully, I think it was more unto death than life. Now, with Christ the rock smitten the second time, the word of God smitten the second time, is the truth of Christ, you've got a big revival going on, just the spirit, everything beautiful. Mm-hmm. Everybody being deceived, but unto death.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because the prophet didn't do it now this time, it was the people did. Did you see the type coming? The very picture at the very end, the very same spirit. Now, not Moses now, not Elijah, it's the spirit. We're talking about the spirit that's in the prophet. We've got this ministry lined up here, where at the very end time, they'll crucify to themselves. Now, they can't crucify the Son of God, of course. They crucify to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
See? What happened? Moses smote the rock and died for it. This prophet doesn't smite the rock and die for it. He dies because it's a type. But the people smite the second time. And they die for it. And yet the smitten rock, look what it's doing, bringing forth signs, wonders, miracles. And people turning down his word.
Mm-hmm.
A man that I got to know a little bit, not too much. He believes that he's a great authority in this ministry. Why, I don't know. And the minute I met him, I knew something was wrong. And I didn't know if it was wrong. But he really likes to run down everybody around this country here by telling us that we don't have anything. And so a brother in Newfoundland went up to him one day, and he said, "Brother," he said, "the family," he said, "how do you stand in church orders? What do you mean?" Well, he said, "you go along with Brother Branham, the prophet," and he said that don't let people stand up in the church in the General Assembly and prophesy and talk and tell. "Oh, brother, I wouldn't put my hand in anybody prophesying in the General Assembly." Well, yeah. I said, "Well, yeah. Well, now, you're going to believe the word of God, you're going to crucify to yourself a second time. That don't care, man, because I believe this message." See, now, we're not dealing on works. We're dealing on where your faith is, which is in the revealed word. See? They don't want it. Now, let's see Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Christ testify to every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man should add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues written in the book. If any man should take away the words of the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. There you are. Cut off among the evil. You got your cutting off. And out of the holy city, and the things that are written in his book. Now, with this, we go to Psalm 69. It's a crucifixion psalm. 18 and 19. I'm sorry, 26, 28. "For they persecuted him whom thou hast smitten, and they talked to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. And they add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness." They talked to the Christ. "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous." Now you've got, this took place at the first crucifixion. There were those whose names were taken off the book. But remember, you did not see the destruction we're going to see yet. Mm-hmm. You're going to see. Now, they had a great tribulation for Israel. There's two great tribulations, one to Israel and one at the end time. That's when Titus came along. It was a very powerful destruction. But this is nothing what's going to happen. Why? Because, you see, they're turning down what? They're turning down the complete revelation.
Mm-hmm.
See? Which was not fulfilled before. You say, "Well, I believe Christ was the Word of God in flesh." That's right. He was that full Word of God. But what was he the full Word of God in? He was the full Word of God manifested that day. What about this day? What about the glory we're coming into? See? What about the manifestation took place at this end time when the pillar of fire came down to the prophet? Well, that's going to close the book. See, on the end time, there's no place else to go. You've got the once and for all message. You've got an end-time manifestation. You've got an end-time demonstration. There's no place to go. Now, we can see this clearly when we go to the book of Revelation, "Hear ye him." Remember, that's what God said on the book, on the Mount Transfiguration. Same thing in Revelation 1:10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice of a great trumpet. See? And then he turned to see the voice. And remember what the what was the voice? The voice was the Son of Man who deals in every age through seven church messengers. Now, go back to Acts, the 3rd chapter, 19 verse. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What a fresh breeze born in the church to awaken it, when that part of anything presented to the eye can be seen. Now, what part of God do you see? Jesus said in John 15, he said, if I have not done the works another man done, they had not sinned, but now they have seen both me and my Father. How did they see him? They saw God through the eye by the work which no other man did. So therefore, when you see the mighty miracle working power of God under the last day prophet, you actually see God come into full view and manifestation. Mm-hmm. Now then, what are they going to do? They're going to crucify him the second time again.
Amen.
Now when they do, they bring about destruction. Now, this takes care of the Gentiles. What about the Jews? What about the Jews? Moses and Elijah both come down, either the spirit or the men. Now, Brother Branham in August of 64 said he didn't know which it was. Although all the time he spoke of Moses and Elijah, and it sounded just like he meant the two persons. But evidently he was referring to spirit and the people. So we've got Moses and Elijah coming with tremendous ministry, which will fill in the 144,000. Now what happened? Everybody else is in. I can't see one thing. I know too well Zachariah seems to indicate. Brother Fisher, I can't make Zachariah fight Acts 3. And I can't make Acts 3 fight Zachariah. I believe what the vindicated prophet said, what God gave him, that at the end time, when after it's all over, the righteous could walk upon the ashes of the wicked. And there's going to be a honeymoon period of the millennium. And remember that Christ is going to sing the praise amongst the church, the brethren, which is going to be from all ages. Now remember, God has so many sons. Where are those sons? Those sons have gone by way of the earth. And every one of those sons is going to be resurrected and is going to be brought into life. What Adam and Eve failed to do through the supernatural power of God, God will do by his own voice in the resurrection, going to bring them all out. Now here's where we stand. Who exactly is Acts 3:21-22? Actually, it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now make no mistake about it. Acts 3:22-23. It's not a man. It's Christ himself. But remember, when you're dealing with the end time, and Christ had three things to do: to keep the assembly of the Lord, the day of the judgment of our God, and to comfort those that mourn. He was sent to do all three. And remember, he is the messenger of the covenant. Mm-hmm. He's got to do all three. There's only one who did. He preached the acceptable year of the Lord. Now then, how's he going to do the next one? What's the day of judgment? The very thing Acts speaking of. Cut off from among the people, if you don't hear. Now, how are they going to hear him? You got your picture. At the very end time, all the prophets have spoken. See, this shall you hear, and whatsoever does not hear is cut off. All right, who's going to do it? Revelation 10 and 6. What with? Revelation 10 and 1. Chapter 5. So we have Christ on the scene at the end time. And what's he doing? The full revelation and manifestation of the word. And you say, well, I believe Christ would have to come back in the flesh and do it. Why should he come back in the flesh and do it? There's no necessity. You suffered once in the flesh, that's over.
Amen.
He can't come back in the flesh until it's ready to go and take the kingdom. Amen. Well, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it as with Israel. God raised him up and sent him to Israel first. And who got him second? The Gentiles. Amen. But he never did appear to the Gentiles. See? He never did. He never was raised up to the Gentiles as he was to us. So what's it going to be? He's got to be raised up to us. On what ground? On the ground of the spirit manifestation. Who does it? A prophet does it. Now, is the prophet Jesus Christ? Not by any stretch of imagination. What is that prophet?
He is that part of the word declaring that there wouldn't be one. Just like when Isaiah said, my shepherd Cyrus. 400 years later, Cyrus was the king. What was Cyrus? He could have said, I am the word of God, manifest in flesh. What word of God? Cyrus manifested. Now we've got a prophet at the end time, raised up with the full revelation of the word, bringing into complete manifestation, proving it is Christ, amongst the Gentiles. Now turn it down, what happened? Luke and Terry. See? Now, what's out there amongst the tares? Taste the good word of God, power of the world to come, anointing of the Holy Ghost, all of these things out there.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? They came by a rock smitten Christ. Now, what's going to happen? Do you think you're going to get the promised land spat in the rock right?
No.
You won't know. Moses never got in. And nobody else is going to get spat in the rock right. Have all the power and jurisdiction you want. You've got to come with that word by faith like Abraham. Why? Because the seed is always identified with Abraham. See? The seed identified. Where's the identification be? The identification is with Abraham in faith. See? Right today, people are worried. They say, where are the great signs and miracles? Look at. If you didn't see one more sign or miracle, you had more than enough to put you in the promised land. That's why God holds you and holds you in debt like it is. You say, where is my vindication? He said, you need them. You know that even Abraham had to rely upon what God gave him for vindication? Well, after Abraham went out there and ran the feet off those kings of Sodom and through the valley, and there he sat. And then now what happens? He meets Melchizedek, a priest of the Most High God. Now what was the identification? The identification was this man giving him bread and wine, restoring the word by divine revelation. Wasn't Abraham, it was Melchizedek. Now here comes the time of Sodom and great destruction. What happened? Where's the sign? There isn't any sign Abraham has. A man, three men come down the road, and the only thing that Abraham has to his credit is the ability to identify God. Right. Numerous songs. Now what happened? Abraham kills a calf, doesn't mean one thing. See? Wash your feet, that's the best he can do. Now what is it? God stands outside the tent and gives a sign, the messianic sign, leading her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now what happened? Nothing. Just rest in his faith. And he said, you've got to wait long. And the last minute before they were changed was the roughest minute of his life. He was greater distance from receiving the promise or in worse shape than his whole entire life at that moment. And then the word of God stepped in and the same thing. See? So where do we stand today? We stand, brother, sister, I believe, with the complete fulfillment of the word of God to the Gentiles. Not Israel. That sounds not yet. There's another manifestation coming to them. Elijah, five times. This is the fourth time now of the Gentiles. We have seen all we need to see.
Amen.
The word of God revealed and fulfilled in this day. One final step. The sealing in chapter 11. And notice where those two chapters are, chapter 10 and 11. Both of them are interpolated. See, because there's no record in the seals and concerning them. And the seals cover the whole thing. The six seals are taken, they're not in the sixth seal. They're interpolated. In other words, God stopped them and then begins to explain some things.
Mm-hmm.
See? We're under the fourth seal. Revelation 10 is what? It's four chapters, five chapters, four chapters down the road. See? We're in chapter 6. But four chapters down the road, an interpolation comes. That word is the bronze. The bronze veil in chapter 6. Because chronologically, it takes place under that fourth seal.
Right.
Okay. Now, where are we today? In the feast kingdom. How many heads, trunk, breast, trunk, legs? Four divisions. Where are we? We're in the fourth division of the world, Gentile, dominion, in the fourth seal, See? In the 6th chapter, and in the 10th chapter, Revelation, verse 7. 6 and 7. See? What are we under? You can take it a dozen ways. And every single time you come right back to what? Acts, the 3rd chapter. It's closing up here. God has turned from Israel to the Gentiles, and now he's turning back. The cross has made the complete sweep. But Alpha all the way to Omega. See? There's no place else to go. And so those that don't hear him, I see nothing but destruction. I cannot see any occupation whatsoever. I believe Christ is that messenger. Came the first time to preach the 70-year glory. And I believe the same one came back as a pillar of fire to announce the day of the judgment of our God. And I believe that same third one will come back yet to comfort those that mourn. Not that he hasn't been doing it. He hasn't been doing it. No, he's been doing it all through the ages. All three. But there's got to come a time, and I understand the Bible, from what Brother Branham taught, and if I'm wrong here, then I'm wrong, but I can't help it. But as I see this, there are those specific periods when this must be done. Brother Branham said distinctly, he said, what his earthly ministry could not encompass, it must be done through the flesh of the bride. And God's got to raise up a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He's raised him up.
Amen.
He heard the word, and he spoke it. And who is that Acts 3? The Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Acts, the 3rd chapter. It's closing up here. God has turned from Israel to the Gentiles, and now he's turning back. The cross has made the complete sweep. From Alpha all the way to Omega. See? There's no place else to go. And so those that don't hear, I see nothing but destruction. I cannot see any occupation whatsoever. I believe Christ is that messenger. Came the first time to preach the 70-year glory. And I believe the same one came back as a pillar of fire to announce the day of the judgment of our God. And I believe that same third one will come back yet to comfort those that mourn. Not that he hasn't been doing it. He hasn't been doing it. No, he's been doing it all through the ages. All three. But there's got to come a time when I understand the Bible from what Brother Branham taught, and if I'm wrong here, then I'm wrong, but I can't help it. But as I see this, there are those specific periods when this must be done. Brother Branham said distinctly, he said, what his earthly ministry could not encompass, it must be done through the flesh of the bride. And God's got to raise up a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He's raised him up.
Amen.
He heard the word, and he spoke it. And who is that Acts 3? The Lord Jesus Christ. How is he doing it? He's done it just like the prophet taught.
Amen.
What are we looking for now? We're looking for the millennium. Why? Because it's over.
Mm-hmm.
See? Israel, delivered from sin, not to take the millennium. That's to take all to the millennium. See? But they crucified him. If the Gentiles did, Gentiles never did, except figuratively. How figuratively? Because Rome did it through the instigation of Israel. Rome will not have killed it.
Right.
But who's killing now? Rome.
Yeah.
See, now the Gentiles can. But thank God only to themselves. See? So no matter what happens, I believe it's all over. I know in a very trying period, and I have no doubt it's going to get worse. There are many things that are increasingly difficult to bear today. But the actual pressure, I don't believe it's come down yet, but I believe when it does come down, then you're going to see the Word of God fulfilled in the Bible. And remember, all that the prophet said has got to be fulfilled to the Gentiles in this our day. Won't be one day. See, and anybody else? Call us. So that's where we stand today. The Lord has put into the final end his entire word ministry. You know, that should make us even stop and think. If we're coming to the very end, what lies ahead? How tremendous what lies ahead is. I'm not talking now of a ministry here in the Holy Ghost, but I'm talking now of the resurrection in the millennium and that which lies ahead. What is ahead when you consider, as Brother Branham said, down here, we saw only the shadow of the shadow of the shadow. One day,
that's going to break through into new almond time. What is it? I have not seen the ear hurt. That was God happy day. You say, what about that which Brother Branham brought back by a vision to us? Of where we go? That in itself, I believe, is a mediocre thing that lies in it. Whatever is in him, as I understand this, to the coming into the full glory of God, I don't care where it is and how it is, whatever is into him to it, is going to be a very small thing. If we have any idea at all of the glory of God that is ours at this present moment, any idea at all, mine, what's going to be ahead? See, you just can't fathom it. See, what's it going to be? What's it going to be that to be in that millennium, every man under his own vine and fig tree, and the children with us, that means those that can do the age of gone on the sea, they'll all be there. Under the beautiful conditions, they'll be able to feel and to hear and to taste and smell, but there'll be no repercussions. If God didn't want to smell a flower and be seen, you could drop dead from the heart attack and be seen. If God here under the trees and the pollen falling, you hear your eyes all puffed up. Go out and try to pull a mango off the trees down there in Florida and they might get mango poison. See? Come out here and pick up the things in the garden and all, and they could be infected with worms and get a parasite or two. You know, but there, where everything comes into full perfection, what will it be? Plus all the things that God has for us that are not cataloged in this life here. See, much of what's cataloged here just becomes glorified. But what about that which isn't in the catalog? See, what can God say about? What lies ahead? See? He thinks sure it's going to be bad to be cut off. And he's got a negative view. But you know, I think very shortly it's got to become a positive view of what's ahead. May the Lord help us to have the positive view. It's easy to take the prophet's message that we're doing and bring out the negative, because my, it's all there. But what about those little side orders that we got, little hors d'oeuvres he used to pass out now and then on the duty, which he couldn't tell us because there's no way to tell us. See? How can you describe a feeling? Well, you know, then let's put the feeling to the place where it's all gone. Where there's the highest order of the full range of all the emotions that can be centered in purity and Christ. What will it be? God knows, I don't know. But I believe that we're going to know more and more of this as the time goes, because we're more and more aware of what's going on. Amen. The Lord bless you. I hope you see who this is. It's not William Branham per se, in the sense that it could have been John Jones, except God spoke to William Branham. It's Christ, it's the Spirit, but how's it doing? How's it come about? So where is it got it here? Where is this last showdown? Spoken of in the Bible. It's all there. Have we had it? I believe we have. So what about in the bride? Well, look, when that takes place, this is what counts now. This is what counts now, getting ready for that little step. Whatever invitation lies in the bride, with thus saith the Lord, I don't know. I'm not, my concern doesn't lie there. I thank God what comes out of it will be tremendous. But my concern lies in what's to do. Has there been a end time message? See? This is what counts. He didn't say, when I've manifested you. No, he said, an end time message. See? So this is what I believe it is. This is what the prophet taught us, as far as I know. And then come with you. So here we see it. God having spoken. And I see nothing but destruction at the end of the road. There's only one hope the prophet gave us, and that's to apply the token. Now remember, the token's the Holy Spirit, but nobody can apply the Holy Spirit. You can't do it, I can't do it, William Brown couldn't do it. The only Holy Ghost you can apply is the revealed word. To apply the revealed word to the household is the only thing anybody can do. There's nothing you can do. There's no miracle you can perform. There is no great thing that can be done. There is to bring the word to the people. That's exactly why I said, if you don't hear, you're cut off. Apply that word. If you don't hear any more than tell your children, your neighbors, it's all you need to do.
you're involved.
Just like there was in that day when the word came forth and said, put the blood upon the doorpost. Well, they said, we've shed blood for years. Who ever heard of putting it on a doorpost? Put it on the doorpost. That's faith. Not you, not you trying to concoct something. It's just taking that word at the end of it. What is the Bible say? The words that is there. Once you've done that, you apply it to the Holy Ghost. I see all the words can apply. How can I apply the Holy Ghost? What is the person to do? Holy Ghost can't follow it. Who has the authority to apply it?
Only God can do it.
But everyone with that word. So here we've heard the word. Now, let it go forth and let it accomplish what it sent. Thank God that even though there is destruction, there is still life. The Lord bless you, shall rise at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have seen today and know assuredly from what the prophet taught us in the days gone by. That we don't look just at this scripture we've taken today and say, well, that's fine. That's great. That was Jesus Christ. And that takes care of it. The Lord, we see today a great revelation of how at the end time there would be the word coming forth and it all dovetails. How perfect, O God, that it came forth in our days, that we saw a manifestation which would bring to us the proof that the revelation was absolutely thus saith the Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, that we don't have our faith built upon anything which is vain, but we have it based upon the absolute Word of God and that Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, bringing it to us in His own way. And Lord, we praise you for it. And may many people hear this word, Lord. May the brethren everywhere that preach this word concern themselves, O God, not with personalities and not with this and that, but may they concern themselves with that word and to give it up. May there not be a slacking, Lord God, we pray. May we be more like Abraham, who day by day, in the face of what was his sternest hour of trial, just went on when hope was gone, hope gone in faith, that he might become the father of many nations. Help us, Lord, to walk in this way. And each one of us, O God, not knowing that there'd be some little sheep out there bleeding in the wilderness, some little lamb out there, Lord, that hasn't come in yet. May the people, O God, not only apply the token to the house, but may they be generous in realizing that this is so great salvation, it doesn't take in one house, it takes in many. For if the lamb be too much, then call in the neighbors. Lord, what a privilege we have. Stir us each up, O God, to realize it's not a matter of whether people would think bad of us for testifying or they would begin to cast aspersions upon what we believe. But Lord, it's a matter of the scarlet thread hanging out of the window. And I speak, Lord, we know that your word said life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we know, Lord God, that if we say that word and we bring it forth, and when they're in the conviction that it is thus set on, then life is in the power of the tongue. But if the other man, but somebody wants to crucify themselves, then this is not our responsibility. Oh God, we know the wheat is waving golden brown in the sun like it is. Out there, Lord, absolutely ready for the last wheat to come in. Oh God, how soon the darkness will be upon the earth, I don't know. But I know it's just not very long off. So, Father, we commend ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that there is anybody here that's not ready, they might get ready. And those, Lord, that are interested in being ready, that they may take every effort, be bent, as the prophet did at the end time, in the face of all frustration and the hurry and bustle of life, the mad course of destruction going on. Lord, may their hearts be somber, may they be sober, that this is the moment to dedicate, fully consecrate a life to the Word of Almighty God. Lord, that all frivolity and things cease, and the sobriety of the hour grip our hearts. Oh God, how serious it is, may we reflect and measure up from the youngest to the oldest, for we know that destruction cometh sudden. Grant, Lord, that we may be prepared against that day when you have said, him that is filthy be filthy, sir. And him that is holy be holy, sir. No time then. no time to get ready. If, Lord, you will have been ready or not. So, Father, help us to that end, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your glory and for your honor. Amen.